Good morning. Clear his throat. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of what one might call The Naked Englishman. And that is what I do call it. It is now the 29th of May, 2025. Time has progressed, though time may not be as linear as we think. The current time at the moment that I am holding this device in my hand and speaking into it, and the noise is recorded, is 7:30 in the morning. It is a grey day, grey and damp, for the rain has been pouring down in a sort of liberal mist. The wind is blowing and the cars are passing, sweeping past the house in their harridan way as they rush to whatever their destination is, probably caused by the action of desiring money. And hence they are working their feverish bodies into the grave in order to earn the reward that will enable them to visit a supermarket and poison themselves further. I am pottering around the house with my bare feet upon the floor. And Julia speaks from above, and I come to the foot of the stairs and ask in a shrill voice, "What are you saying?"
Doing that, walking around with your bare feet on the ground. You're angelic. Why aren't you floating?
Oh, yes, angelic. I had the choice to float, but at this early morning time, I have decided I would like to adhere to the rules of gravity, although some people declare there is no gravity, of which they would be bouncing their heads off the ceiling as they float about in some substation in space. However, I notice with reluctance that there is a little mess on the coffee table, and I am picking up some bits of tissue that have been rolled into nose cleaning apparatus. At least I think that's what it was used for. Who knows? May have been a suppository for all I know. Anyway, I shall stop my silly burbling. Welcome back to the show. It's nice to see you. Thank you for coming. Not that I can actually see you, of course. It is Thursday. Tomorrow is Friday. Well, obviously. But the reason I say that is my Riverfords, and I've now finally managed to order a Riverford for Friday. And I have a number of these folded Riverford boxes. When you get a veg box from Riverford, they are reusable, covered in some sort of plastic skin. Cardboard, covered in some sort of plastic skin. And they are fold-upable, but they don't fold-upable absolutely precisely flat as pancakes. And storing them in the hallway, as I do, they now the amount of them that I have resemble a concertina that is not yet fully squished together. The carpet under my naked feet feels that it needs a good clean. I have no interviews today, which I'm very pleased about, where I wish to dedicate the day more to getting on with the book. For yesterday, and so therefore I will have time in between all of that to give the floor a good once-over with a vacuum cleaner. But yesterday, a lot of time was taken up going to the farm shop. By the time I had recorded The Naked Englishman and made the video and put it out, and then got out with the lovely Julia to the farm shop and return with not only Julia's supply and my supply, but Billy's supply of farm food. Then, and thanks to Helen for sending, I don't know whether Helen listens to this, but if she does, thank you to Helen, she'll know who she is, who's sending a postal order for £30 towards Billy's food. He sounds like a little pet now, doesn't he? But he isn't, he is a grown lad. Anyway, sad to say that Billy had another seizure the night before last, of which we were ignorant, and again they went to A&E to see if they needed to get some tests because they're obviously monitoring his situation. Not that I trust the public enemy number one, the NHS, because it has in the past, what's the word when you join partnership with the evil murderers? It has an association. It is like the hitmen of the government or the dark forces, isn't it? With its army of syringe carriers. But anyway, he had another seizure, which was a real blow for all of us because we had hoped that the good quality food and the diet that he was having would be making all the difference. But, so we sat, he came round later on in the evening because he'd been pretty startled by it all and tired. And we were thinking of different methods to work out what's causing it. And we came to the conclusion that he needs to keep a diary of what he eats and what he does, so that there may be a pattern
correlated,
so that we could see what is triggering it. For the triggering of it must be the same. It may not be the same, but it would be...
But if it is random, that indeed is a clue in itself.
Yes. So it could be a simple ingredient in a tin of beans, or it could be an activity. It could be the radiation from his phone if it's by his bed. So we went through a whole number of contingencies to say, what about this? Do you do this? Do you do that? Do the other? And we gave him some shungite. We gave him some...
Shungite pyramid, in fact.
Yes, to put by his bed. We gave him some advice about what to do with his phone overnight. Clearly, they need access to a phone in case Sharifa, his girlfriend, has to call 999. And so on. And
gave him some selenium.
And we gave him, yes, that's right, we gave him some selenium, advice on supplements. And
we loaned them another, a My Hill book, Dr. My Hill book.
Oh, yes, for the ketogenic diet.
Yep.
So, you know, we're doing our best for him, and hopefully something will be resolved. But keeping a journal would be a good suggestion of all activities. He does seem to have stopped taking any protein powders or whatever other supplements you take for the gym, which is very good, I think. We suggested things like methylene blue and so on.
Iodine.
And we did a little iodine test on him to see if he was iodine deficient. Didn't seem to be. And of course we gave him the farm food that we got, so he's got that. And then I thought this morning, perhaps he needs to do some deep breathing exercises, because perhaps in his pokey little flat that they live in, there may not be enough oxygen or air, fresh air. And if it's seems to be sometimes when he's asleep or in the evenings this happens, and I wonder if there's a correlation between not having enough oxygen in the blood. But I, you know, who knows? But the body having the seizure is trying to tell Billy something.
Mm.
It's trying to say there's something wrong, but it can't necessarily say exactly what it is. And that's something that, of course, is what we are all trying to find out. Because if we can work out what the cause is, well, there you are. You can prevent it from being the main thing. So that happened. Julia went off down to her house in the country with the children. No, Julia had a day out with her friend, had her hair done, looks very nice, by her friend, put up a car park and paved paradise. And what was the, and what did I do? Well, I tried to do some book writing or some editing on my book. And then a friend came round, Neil, who wanted to tell me about the challenge he has made to the council. Following my videos and others, he is inclined not to pay council tax on a small property, a flat that he rents out. and it's now empty, there's nobody in it, and he's being charged full whack. And I said, well, you will, that's what they're like, because that's what happened when Dad died and his house lay empty for 18 months.
They don't give a damn how difficult things are and how awkward things are. They're just going to make it more awkward and they're going to stick the knife in and twist it.
What she said.
Rant over.
So, anyway, he said, well, I'm going to go in there and tell them I'm not paying and they can do one. So he went in there and he did what he did and said what he said. But it was actually quite interesting because he said, well, I want you to consider the problem and give me a more moralistic answer. Why do I need to pay it? And he just spoke to, really, the terminal. I mean, it was a human sitting behind the terminal, but she was just an operator. She was just inputting the information, but she could make no decision. And he said, well, who can make the decision for me? I'd like somebody to make the decision. And she said, well, it will, you know, we'll take all the details and it'll go to the team. And he said, well, who's this team? And she said, well, it's the team that will do it. And I said, well, who in the team makes the decision? Oh, well, the manager of the team. He said, well, I'd like to speak to the manager then. Oh, no, no, it has to go around the team and the team will discuss it all. And he said, well, how can I meet this team? Oh, you can't meet the team. And he said, well, I want a decision on this. Well, we'll send you a letter once the team has discussed the situation. Well, I'd rather just talk to somebody so I can give you the information and you can talk to me and we can come to an agreement. She said, no, well, we will make the team will be in touch. And he said, well, in that case, I want a letter that is signed. Oh, well, it won't be signed because it's coming from the team.
Yes.
And there seemed to be this impasse with this
merry-go-round.
Yes, this, you know, deliberate prevarication, is that a word? Obfuscation to make any decision and say, no, no, it can't be because we don't know which member of the team will be signing the letter and who will do it. And it's like, in the end, he said, well, if you don't write the letter to me, Neil, I don't want you to write it to my surname. I don't want you to write it to any of that. Just send it to me, Neil. I want it in a wet ink signature. And I don't want it sent to my home address. I want it sent to the flat's address. And I'm not going to pay anything. And when the new tenants move in, they can be responsible for the council tax. You know, I mean, personally, I would have taken it further and say nobody need be responsible for the council tax. Why didn't the council pay the council tax?
Yeah.
The government.
It's for them, isn't it?
Yes.
It's got their name on it.
If it's got the Crown Corporation dead entity in it, what's that got to do with anybody else? You know, the Crown takes the Crown to court and says, why didn't you pay? Well, I thought I could con somebody else to pay. Ah, well, and you obviously couldn't. They've outsmarted you, Mr. Crown. And who is the Crown? Well, the King represents the Crown, doesn't he? Although King is actually no longer the King, but that's another story for another day. He is just the chairman of the estate, because he sits on the chair of the estate. Yeah, that's
not even the throne man.
Not even a throne man anymore, no. He sits, I think that's in the coronation. He went and sat on a chair that he and that ugly woman that he shacked up with, whatever her name is, both, all of them taking this adrenochrome, which seems to make their faces shrivel. I thought all this adrenochrome was supposed to give them external youth, or the elixir. Eternal youth.
External youth.
To look younger.
Yes.
That's what I was led to believe, that, you know, and to make them live longer. But it actually seems to make all these people look more knurled, shriveled, and dried out like a leather soul that's been left in the sun too long. And so that they're on a, you know, wasteful journey. But anyway, that's a minor point of contention. I can't remember where I was going now, so it doesn't matter. I'll change subject, change tact. Anyway, he came in and wanted to tell me that. So 45 minutes later, I threw him out, because I had to go and do an interview at 4 o'clock. So in between all of that time and answering the emails, he says through gritted teeth, and whilst the correspondence is necessary, it is a tedium that grinds one down, for it is an everyday occurrence, an everyday laborious process of, because, and if you take a day off, and we know what that's like, having gone away for 4 6 days to the Barbara O'Neill summit in Craneage in Cheshire, and you return because there was really no time to sit and do it and no inclination to sit and go through these copious questions, treating me as if I'm some agony aunt, going, how, Richard, I've got the children are being evicted tomorrow, my house is going to be, the bailiffs are at my door, this is happening, that's happening, this is, you know, they're building these solar panels, have you got the name of somebody who can help me, where can I find such and such, you said in a video 2 years ago that, you know, I can't find the contact for, and it's like, my goodness, you want everything, would you like me to come round and wipe your bum also, I often think. And I don't mean to have that attitude, it's just, and I don't really have that attitude, it's just some days it does seem to be a never-ending, thankless task to answer these emails, and others say, just delete them. And on the whole, I don't, but sometimes people only get a one-line reply because there's so many of these emails to do, and then they'll say, well, that was a bit prompt, wasn't it? You know. Or
the thing is, you cannot please everybody.
Well, you can never please everybody. You're quite right. Oh, otherwise, I hope...
Quite frankly, they're unsolicited.
They are unsolicited. And sometimes these unsolicited emails contain hundreds of words. And people like to give you their long life story. And then you're scanning through it, trying to work out what the hell it is they want in reply. What are you after, having told me all of this stuff? And I feel sorry for them. And I appreciate that they're looking for a saviour or an answer, but I'm not necessarily it. And I do my best, anyway.
There's going to come a time when you're too busy to do all these emails, because well, we'll have, you know, a homestead to run.
Yes, exactly. So I don't mean to sound bitter about it. It's just, as you can imagine, if you get loads of these things and you just want to answer, you know, do your best. But if you go away, for goodness sake, be wary. If you're in that position, because 6 days of emails turns into a thick volume of correspondence that one has to do. And so there you go. Anyway, that really took up most of my day, and I did manage to sit and red pen. I'm close to the end, but the end is the tricky bit, because I noticed there was, I must have been quite sloppy. And I'm making rewrite. I want to make it good, and I want it consistent. So I'm making these little rewrites in there. It takes time to reformulate the sentence. What am I actually saying here? I put that in a bit of a cack-handed way. I'd like to put it a little more smoothly for the reader, you know, so they don't have to go back and go, what's he trying to say? What's it about?
You fathom that sentence.
What's it all about?
Alfie.
So I don't want them to do that. And I had a nice chat with Sean James Cameron yesterday evening, in which we both bemoaned certain aspects of parking in places where there is no signage and you're being done. And had a good old chin chat about numerous other things. And so that was refreshing. While I was in the kitchen, labouring under a real fire to bring...
Under
the heat of a real fire. In the wood-burning stove.
You just imagine you just laying there on the floor with logs on you burning.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
That was hard.
Not what we want.
No. I've got the scorch marks and everything. As long as they're not skid marks, we're right. Anyway, I was labouring under the... Over a hot fire. Yes, in the kitchen, producing a lovely couple of steaks, crispy steaks, steaks, and boiled vegetables, or steamed vegetables, they were esteemed, so that when Julia strolled through the door, like the princess she is, the food was then thrown delicately onto the plate, and shoved in her face and said, "Here, bitch, there's your dinner."
Sorry, you mispronounced empress.
Oh, sorry, empress. Yes.
If we're going to, you know.
And your entourage had to remain outside, for Mojo doesn't eat off the same plate. Anyway, that was that. So thank you very much for listening. I will now upload this and concoct a video for the main channel. Until we talk, probably tomorrow, do take wise counsel of yourself and fall not from a very high cliff.
Nor fall for the follies of those that would harm us.
Exactly. So there we are. And please be careful of any open mine shafts that you may inadvertently tumble down and break your neck.
Yeah, don't fall down from any mine shafts.
For I feel that Skippy, Flipper, and what's the name of the dog?
Lassie.
Lassie may not necessarily be around anymore to come and take the message to the man who says, "What's that, Lassie? Flipper? And Titter? What is it? Yep. That a man has fallen down a mineshaft and it's crumbling around. The water is rising up above his head. His leg is trapped. What is that? The Titter? Mitter? Flitter? What? Tell us. No, no, no. I'm too busy. Go and find somebody else." And on that note, toodle pip.
Tatty bye.